Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. The sermon this week is exciting because it's about experiencing the book of Acts through an unsaved family that is battling cancer in their 2-year-old son, and how the Holy Spirit connected people to bring strong intercessory prayer for this little boy. Pastor John takes you through the Bible to show the sovereignty of God, His love for mankind, and how He cares for each individual. He speaks about Cornelius, the Roman centurion who called upon God and unknowingly set in motion a chain of events that would have a miraculous outcome. God is still moving the same way today, and you can be part of His continuing miracles as people are saved from sin and healed of their diseases. This sermon is a spiritual sunshine story that will put some cheer into your soul and lift your spirit if you have been depressed and wondered where God is. It is entitled, The Sovereignty of God. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise God, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church on May 9th, 2010. And I'm going to be preaching not on a series today, this is just a one message, one sermon, the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God. Let's stand and let's pray as we get into this message. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank You and praise You right now for the time we have here today that we can get into Your Word. And that, Father God, Your Word is not something we read about that was good 2,000 years ago, but is just as good today. And I pray for the excitement today, Lord, that will come upon us when we realize that the book of Acts is still going on. The time of the book of Acts is still being written. It is not finished until the day You come back. So, Father, touch me, anoint me, and anoint everyone that listen. And this I ask in Jesus' name. And those who are great said, amen and amen. You may be seated. Now, the Bible is full of events when God supernaturally intervened in the life of human beings. We have read of the supernatural accounts in the book of Acts. And we long for God to move just like that in our time. God has not changed, and He's still moving today, and has recently moved in our ministry in such a way that we have never seen it before. And today, we're going to hear a story about Casper. And I expect in the future to hear something about Casper. But this is a story that I believe is a book of Acts account. Last week, as I finished up my series on getting out of the past, they asked, what are you going to preach on next week? I said, I don't know. Monday, I did not know. But Tuesday, God said, the sovereignty of God and tell the story of Casper. So here it is. Let's read it now first, the story. About 2 years ago, a little baby boy named Casper was born to a Swedish mother and an American father. The father is a practicing Buddhist, and the mother has no religion at all. They live in a small town called Mill Valley, which is located just north of San Francisco. It so happened, too, that this is what my wife and I lived for 3.5 years when I went to seminary at Golden Gate Baptist Theological Seminary, same town. The Swedish mother had a good friend who is also from Sweden, and she lived with a family in another small town called Fairfax, just north of Mill Valley. One day, little Casper was diagnosed with cancer, and treatment was started, but no one knew if he was going to live or die. In the meantime, this family had some repairs made in their home. And the man in charge of these repairs was Vasily, who happens to be a member of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church. He had been to the home several times prior to Casper contracting cancer and talked at length with the father when he found out about the cancer. Vasily asked the father a burning question. Are you willing to give up Buddha in exchange for your son to be healed? And the father said, no. Vasily's heart was broken, and the following Sunday he told his story in church and requested prayer for Casper to be healed, regardless of the spiritual conditions of the parents. We prayed in our church, and then we moved on, since there are prayer requests coming in all the time. But God was not through with us yet. Some 2 months prior to us praying for Casper, a friend in Norway by the name of Leif had sent us a copy of a CD that was produced by a Swedish evangelist, Lennart Larsson, who had been traveling and ministering in Norway. Now, my wife and I became very excited about this CD. We liked the music, great gospel music. And we wanted to contact this man and talk to him. That's what we were trying to do. So we contacted Leif, but he did not have any information how to reach Lennart. And my wife, Aina, contacted her friend Ann-Britt in Sweden, who is a born-again Christian. And she in turn called her sister to find out if she's ever heard of Lennart. The good news was that the sister knew about the evangelist, had some of his recordings, and was able to get an address and a telephone number. We received this information during the first week in May, and were also told that Lennart was either in Norway or preparing to leave for Norway. We decided to call Lennart as soon as possible, and to my surprise, he answered the phone, and we had a great conversation about this music. Then he asked me this. How far is Sacramento from San Francisco? After I told him it's about a 2-hour drive, Lennart told me that he had a daughter living in a small city north of San Francisco, but she was in a backsliding condition and not walking with Christ. But, he said, he still held out hope, for as not too long ago, she sent him an email asking for prayer for another boy with cancer. It turns out that his daughter was a very good friend of Casper's mother. I listened intently and wondered why this story sounds so familiar. Lennart told me the boy's name was Casper, but it was several weeks since we had prayed for a boy with cancer, and I could not remember his name at that time. As soon as I finished talking with Lennart, I called Vasily and asked him for the name of the boy. Something clicked in my spirit when Vasily told me, Casper. And I understood that God is concerned about this boy, and was impressing upon us as a ministry to undertake a prayer vigil for him. All this calling took place on May 4th, and that night we met for intercessory prayer at the church. I told how the Holy Spirit moved upon us, and we realized that just as in the book of Acts, God was working with us on behalf of a little boy whose parents are not Christians, but God has a plan for him. Vasily is scheduled to go back to the home of Casper on May 10th and work there for several days. This will give him a chance to speak to the mother, pray for the child in person, and bring Jesus to a family that has no hope. No one in the church knew all the things, and the fact that a Swedish evangelist would have a daughter who was the best friend to the mother whose son had cancer is the work of the Holy Spirit. When I asked God what he wanted me to preach this coming Sunday, he told me to tell the story of Casper and to preach on the sovereignty of God. Now, this little boy does not have a chance in the world. His dad, a Buddhist, he's an American, but just, you know, flaked out. His mother is nothing. And here's a little boy born contracting cancer. We do not know if this boy is going to be an evangelist, pastor, whatever he's going to be in time to come. But we do notice that God put together this chain of event, because a CD was sent to us about 2 months before Vasily came up and told about Casper. And I did not know that this evangelist had a daughter that was a friend of the mother. And she could also help out by simply saying, I want to go back to God and I want us to pray together. I believe that we have here a divine appointment schedule. Now, I have never seen it on such a scale before in my life, because we had so many people involved. No one of the people knew each other except the Holy Spirit. This is what is called the sovereignty of God. I believe that we're going to see in this church more and more divine appointments. We have prayed for politicians. I believe that God has simply worked long time ago to have this woman have a house plastered. Thomas Burns going there, knowing that later on there was going to be a man running for an office that needed the support of the Burns brothers in prayer, encouragement. You and I are going to have more and more divine appointments, and we're going to be amazed what God is going to do through them. Look at the outline now. I want to talk about the sovereignty of God. And by the way, before we leave here today, we're going to have Vasily up here, and we're going to anoint you with oil, and you're going to be the point man from this ministry. And we're going to pray when you touch that boy, the Holy Ghost power comes all over the place and kills every cancer cell. So there'd be a mighty miracle that no one could deny. What is the sovereignty of God? And the first thing I did, I went to Webster's Dictionary. Sovereignty or sovereign means superior to all others. It also means supreme to all others. It also means independent of all others. Our God is a sovereign God. He is fantastic. He has everything under his control. There is no one like him. Take your Bibles now and turn to Isaiah chapter 45. I'm so glad that God is not impressed by the ACLU or some of the others. And you know, that's what I hate the Bible. They hate the Bible. Our Heavenly Father is sovereign, has stated so himself without any apology. He does not say, well, I'm sorry, folks, I don't want to be proud. God is proud over himself. He should be proud because he's all goodness. He's all love. He's everything that is good. He's light. We should be proud of him. In Isaiah 45, verse number 21, we read this. Tell you and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient time? Who has told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? and there is no God else beside me. There is no God else beside me. A just God, a Savior, there is none beside me. Look unto me and be you saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the words that go out of my mouth, in righteousness, and shall I return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say, the Lord have our righteousness and strength, even to him shall man come, and all that are incensed against shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified, and shall glory, and you and I are part of that seed. Turn to the next chapter, that 46. And you pick it up in verse number 9. Now, God repeats this here twice because he said, this is important. This is something I want have said. Remember the former things of old, for I am God. There's none else. I am God, and there's none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man execute my counsel before a country. Yea, have I spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. Hearken to me, you stout-hearted, that are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness, it shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry, and I will place salvation in Zion, for Israel, my glory. Remember the things of old, for I am God, there's none else. I am God, and there's none like me. I believe that you have a story to tell. I have many stories to tell. But God has worked in our lives even before we came to Christ. What would be the chance of me finding a specific wife that God wanted? And the answer is silch. When my wife was a little girl, her dad had a desire to move to a different place in Sweden, to the city of Örebro. And it would have been a wise move. He would have been better business there and so on. But his mother, who was actually not his mother, but his wife, who was not saved, simply said, no, I will not go to that city with you. What would have happened if Ina's dad would have moved a family to that city? I would never have met her. You see, God knew in advance there was a college in Western Sweden that he was going to have me go to. And to get to that college, I had to travel by, I didn't have a car in those days, I didn't have a driver's license. I had to travel by train through her home village. And God knew that after I'd been to college there about a couple of months, coming back from a little vacation in my hometown, as the train stopped in her hometown, Vedum, she climbed on board, not knowing that this train was bringing her husband. I did not know that when the train stopped, that here's my wife coming. But God knew that. And I had a girlfriend, and I was first tempted to simply say, well, you know, I've been with my girlfriend all weekend, you know, why should I, you know, try to make a pass on the lady? And I was badgered Go and talk to her. Go and talk to her. It was only a couple of guys that were there. They went over, and I thought I'm going to ace them out. And I did. And I got a date. Now, what's the chances that you have this train, it's an electric train, that when we had been probably about maybe 20 minutes out from her hometown, the train broke down. The locomotive simply died. And here we were sitting there. God was simply saying, I want you to really meet each other. Well, I was a very manipulating person. So I was determined to ace these guys out. So I looked at Ina and said, what do I do next? And she being kind and loving, she said, I will help you. We're going to take a bus and I will show you how to go. And that's how I got a date. And that's how I met her on a train. A divine appointment. I believe that when you met your wife or your husband, you that are here, God had led you in divine appointments. Those of you that are not married, if you only slow down and said, God, send me my man, send me the woman, he will. And when you find that person, it's going to be joy in your heart because it'll be the right person for you. This goes for jobs. This goes for everything. God is simply saying to you and me today, stop living in the flesh and stop moving in the supernatural. Let's turn to the book of Job right now. The book of Job, chapter 38. Job got struck by the devil. He didn't know what's going on. He was asking God a lot of questions. And God simply finally said he answered him. And so many of you have said, you know, why this or why that or what this is happening. Well, here's what God is answering you and me. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? You and I don't know nothing. Gird up your loins like a man, for I will demand of you and answer me. Where was you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare if you have understanding. Was laid a measure thereof, if you know it, or who has stretched the line thereupon? Whereupon are the foundation thereof fastened, or who laid a cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, all the sons of God shouted for joy. Or who shut up the sea with doors when it broke forth as if it had issued out of a womb? When I made a cloud, the garment thereof, and thick darkness, a swaddling one for it, and break it for it my decreed places at bars and doors, and said, hitherto, hitherto, should you come not further, here should your proud waves be stayed. You read the rest of that chapter. And basically God is simply saying this. Who are you that are constantly questioning God? Why don't I have more money? Why not this? Why not that? Who is he that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Here's what I feel God wants us to do. Trust and obey. Trust and obey. And simply say this. I am tired of walking in the flesh. I want to move in the supernatural. Now, we know that God is sovereign. He is supreme. But he also is a God of love. Turn to John 3:16, which we all know by heart. We're going to read it anyway. The Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse number 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God knew that I was conceived out of wedlock. He knew it in advance. He knew that I was a terrible, demon-possessed boy. He knew that I made a lot of bad choices. I was an evil person. But you see, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believe on him shall have eternal life. And God simply said, I love you. God is saying to you, I love you despite what you've done. And it is his love that cleaned me up. It was not the wrath of God that cleaned me up. It was his love. Remember this now. God loves you. You are important. You are not an accident, regardless where you're born and how you, to what parents. Turn to the Gospel of John chapter 4. And you pick it up in verse number 23. God is seeking people who want to come to him and worship and love him. Jesus said, but the hour comes, and now is, when a true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship him. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. There's a gentleman that came to our ministry some time ago. He's still in the ministry. And he's had bad, can we say, unfortunate luck. It's not a good word, but he's had setbacks in his life. And he simply said, why me? Why me? And I asked him this. I said, when you accepted Christ, why did you want to get saved? Did you want to get saved because you loved God, or did you want saved because you didn't want to go to hell? He says, I called on God because I didn't want to go into hell. I said, why do you want all these things? He says, because I like to have them. Then they asked him this. Do you love God, or is God an ATM machine for you? And he had to hang his head and said, I don't love God. I don't dislike him. I don't hate him. But I don't love him. And the man could not do that because his father, he came from a divorced family, and his dad never loved him. He never had a little boy, his dad coming and say, son, you're okay, I love you. So because of that, he's not saying, why is not God blessing me? And I said, how can God bless you when you want all these things, but you're rejecting him? If he give you all these things, you will never even pray to him anymore. And does God hold things back? Because he wants us to come to him, not for what he gives us, but for who he is. Turn to Romans chapter 5 now. The book of Romans, the 5th chapter. It's Romans chapter 5. You pick it up here in verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, into this grace, where we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience, and patient experience and experience hope. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When I came back to Christ, I didn't come back to God because I loved him. I was scared of hell. My motivation was, be sure to get saved, because I didn't want to burn forever. And I was baptized in water, served as Sunday school superintendent, taught Sunday school. God called me to preach, went to seminary, went all these different things. And for about 20 years, I did not really love God because I didn't think he loved me. It took more than 20 years until I realized that I am worth something. Because all my life I've been criticized. I always failed as a youngster, a teenager. Always criticized by everyone. You could have done this better. This could be better. And I was very critical of myself until I realized that God loves me. John, the bad Terrell, the rotten apple, the guy that the girls hated in school because what I did to them, shooting at them, the slings, everything else, pouring water on them, chasing them. The person no one cared for. And suddenly one day, God just turned on the light. But God commands his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I realized that God loved me, not because what I could do for him. He just loved me as his creation. And when I realized that, I was able to begin to serve God. I feel his love beginning to flow inside of me toward you. And today I can say this. I love my Heavenly Father. Not for what he gives me. Not for what he's doing for me. But I love him because he is. He's my daddy. I don't know how many of people listening to me right now have not really understood that. You maybe never even thought about this yourself. But stop and think. Do you really love God, or you're scared of him? Do you fear him? Do you do things in order to stay in his good graces? Or can you go up and say, Daddy, I love you. I want to hug you. Thank you. That's the relationship he wants. I never remember my dad ever hugged me as a child. And I remember there's only one time when my dad really showed affection. And that was maybe 3 or 4 years before he died. And we were working, building some things on the wall. I was standing on a stepladder, and suddenly I fell down. I overreached. And I fell in such a way, my air went out, I couldn't move. And he ran up, and he put his hand on my cheek, and he said, are you okay, son? And when I felt his hand, I realized how much I missed him touching me as a child. And I said, yeah, Dad, I'm okay. We need to understand God's love. Secondly, God called us. Turn to the book of Isaiah right now. The book of Isaiah, we pick it up in chapter 49. Isaiah chapter 49. And this goes for every one of us. Listen wise unto me, and hearken you people from far. The Lord has called me from the womb, for the bowels of my mother has he made mention of my name. I see her standing here. Before I came out of my mother's womb, you knew me. You called me. Look in Jeremiah now. Jeremiah chapter 1. These two prophets lived about 200 years between each other. They didn't live at the same time. And here's what Jeremiah says in chapter 1, verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you. And ordained you a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, our Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. But the Lord said to me, say that I'm a child. For you shall go to all I shall send you, and whatsoever command you, you shall speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Before Jeremiah was formed, conceived, God knew him. Before you were conceived, before you even existed, God had designed you. Put you up on this drawing board and said, this is who you're going to be. This is the time you're going to be born. These are your parents. These are the things I'm going to do for you. It's all preordained. And all we have to do is just to trust him and walk in this. Turn to Galatians 1:15. That's Galatians 1:15. Have you read this? Paul speaking. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace. I want to go back one step to the love of God again. And I want to show you, you that are fathers, how badly you hurt the times. I told you about my dad touched me at that one time. About 2 or 3 years later, his health began to deteriorate. And I had to take him to the different doctors and checkouts and so on. And this was one of the last, probably the last 3 or 4 weeks of his life on earth. And he was laying on some kind of a bed, examination bed, and I was sitting next there to interpret for him. And it was kind of chilly in the room, and we were there, and I didn't say a whole lot. And then suddenly, I just felt that you take Dad's hand and just pray for him. So I just took his hand. As I did that, he gripped my hand very hard, and he held it. And I prayed with him, and he wouldn't let go of my hand. And I realized this, that his dad had never touched him and said, I love you. We got a story in our family called the fish. And this is passed on to third generation. Hopefully it didn't go any further. You sit at a table eating. Someone's not behaving. You get a fish with just that back hand of your hand, you know, just right smack in your face. And, you know, that take care of the situation. That's how my grandfather run his family. And we got the fish, my brother and I, in our family. And I thought about my dad. He was up in his 80s, and he never really had anyone. And here I was his son, and I stayed with him. We need love. No one can say, I'm so tough, I don't need nothing. We are made to be loved. And let me tell you this. If you don't get the love, you're going to go to pieces inside. You might be tough. You might be this and that. But you are eating yourself alive inside. And eventually you will die with either arthritis or cancer or something else that would eat you. We need to open up for God's love. If you know that God called you, why not begin to trust him? Let's turn to the book of Acts now, chapter 10. And this is a story I preached on some time back when I went through the book of Acts. We're going to get some other things out of it here this morning. And I'm going to read this slowly. God cares for the individual. There was a Roman officer by the name of Cornelius in the book of Acts who believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he was a praying man. Now the Jews at that time believed that Gentiles had no souls, could not be saved. They were dogs, but they could benefit in this life. Cornelius, an officer, was touched by God. And despite being rebuffed by the Jews, he loved the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God wanted to save him and his household. And the gospel is given to man to preach and to minister. And thus God had to supernaturally move on a number of people in order to get his will done. Here's a breakdown of the steps. And this is something that happened to you and me day out and day in, if we believe. The prayer, the vision, the action. Let's read the first two verses. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of a band called the Italian Band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Here's Cornelius now. Of all the people, he's praying. And God said, Cornelius, I love you. I'm going to save you. God doesn't send angels. He sent people. Now, Vasily, God could send an angel to Caspar's home and heal him. But God is working through men. And you are that man who's going to go there. In verse number 3, now we come to the vision. He saw in a vision, evidently about the 9th hour of the day, an angel of God come into him and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell you what you ought to do. Now, think about this. Here's Cornelius. Boom, here comes an angel. And say, Cornelius, here's what you need to do. The angel could have something to say, Cornelius, let me tell you how to get saved. I want you to catch this. But angels are not allowed to preach the gospel. Angels are not allowed to preach the gospel. They can do everything else, but the gospel has to be preached by a man, a woman, or it can be read from the Bible or a book. So now we had the vision. Now comes the action. Verses 7 through 8. When the angel which spake to Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants, and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. You need jobs. You need finances. You need this door open and so on. Begin to pray and say, God, I love you. I have a need. Give me a vision. Speak to me. You might not have a vision like a picture, but you can get a thought. You can get an unction where to go. And then act upon it. Look at the outline now. God has set in motion the action to seek help. And then he set in motion the action for the person who was going to respond to the need. It followed the same steps. Verse 9, the vision, actually the prayer. Verse 9, on the morrow, as they went on a journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon a housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Now, if you want to have some information, you don't get it by turning on a television. You don't get it by reading the newspaper. You don't get it by sitting at your computer. You get the information by simply taking time and saying, my Heavenly Father, I want to talk to you today. What's the program for today? Prayer. Then came the vision. Verse number 10. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. And he saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it been a great sheet knit at the four corners, let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is uncommon or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again a second time, what God has cleansed, they call you not common. This was done three times or thrice, and the vessel was freed up again into heaven. Now, while Peter doubted himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, a man which was sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, was lodged there. While Peter thought of the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men seek you. Arise therefore, get you down, go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent you. Peter now simply realizing, okay, there are three men down here. I don't know who they are, but the Holy Spirit said, go with them. When you get orders, you obey. And then we had the action. And we go back up now to verse. Actually, we already read that. But let me continue down here. And in the chapter, I don't want to pick it up here. In verse number 44. While Peter yet spake these words, he was preaching now. The Holy Ghost fell on them that which heard the word, and they of the circumcision were laid were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also has poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. We had not Cornelius with a prayer, a vision, and an action. Peter, prayer, vision, and an action. And when the two of them met, we had ignition. God moved. The result was salvation, to baptism of the Holy Spirit, and water baptism. Chapter 10 has nothing to do with food. As a lot of people say, well, that's a food issue. No, this is a divine appointment issue. Had nothing to do with the food. It was just an illustration. The result was salvation, to baptism of the Spirit, and water baptism. Now, look what I wrote in the box in there. God wants little Casper to be healed. So in time he could become saved and is active in a chain of people who are to pray while Vasily is a point man to deliver the message, to lay his hands on the child and pray. Only Vasily has access to Casper at this time. As we had testimony time here today, and Brother Vasily came up to share his testimony, and he said, I just went to the funeral. Guess what the devil was telling me sitting here? Casper is dead. You got a dud sermon. I'm glad it was not Casper. But I don't believe that God would speak to me Monday, have me prepare all of this, for inform me Sunday morning that he died, so what the sermon you did is nothing. You just tear it up, you know, forget it. Now, we got to fight some unbelief now. Because right now the devil is going to simply say this, well, the father's a Buddhist, the mother is nothing, and you know, we don't know, and maybe this will not work. Now, do we have the faith at the resurrection life of Jesus Church? Do we have the faith when we simply say this, if God did all these things and put things together, we have faith that Casper is going to be healed and eventually saved and be used in the kingdom of God. We cannot vacillate. We're going to have to declare today that we believe that this is God's will, not thy will be done, maybe possible. It either is God's will or it is not God's will. Turn to Hebrews 13:8. Hebrews 13 and verse number 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forever. Friday night, my wife and I were in the San Francisco Bay Area and had a Bible study. We went to a place we'd never been before. And we had to drive in into a suburb. We had the description from Google. But if you can't read the street signs, it doesn't matter how good descriptions you have. And we were coming down, and I said to my wife, what's that sign? And we slowed down. And you know, any time when you're looking for something, you got somebody behind you, you know, keep going. So we slowed down, and we probably passed 14 streets, you know, that was not it, not it. You know, finally I said, I'm just going to go over here and park someplace, sit down and find out where I'm at. So I said, I'm just going to turn on this street. I turned on the street and my wife said, there it is. A divine appointment. Now, we had asked prior to this that God would guide us, give us a divine guidance. But you see, you've got to have faith. Now, if you came to church today and somebody says, well, I'm going to go to church because mom and dad wanted me to go, because brother wanted me to go, whatever it is, you know, I'm just going to get my time in and get out, you know. If you don't expect anything, you're not going to get a whole lot. But if you expect it today to get something from God, he's going to give it to you. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Remember the story that we had Thomas tell us about a year ago, maybe less. He flew down. He actually drove down, had a bad experience with a highway patrol guy someplace in one of these inspection stations. Flying back, he found himself seated next to a high supervisor in the CHP in Sacramento. Now, see, these are not coincidences. These are divine appointments. God wants us to live like that every day. You go to the store, you go to the supermarket, you go to a service station, wherever you go, God wants you to be in a supernatural and simply say, I have a divine appointment for you today. It might be giving a word to a little woman, speaking to a boy, whatever it is. Sometimes there are big assignments, sometimes small, but he wants to walk in them to have faith and believe it is happening. Do you really have faith that a Casper is going to be healed? Because you see, in our memory banks, we remember cancer, death. You know, we have too many failures in our lives that we remember. And today we need to take those failures and say, I'm not going to look upon the past. I'm not going to look upon the defeat. I'm going to look upon Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. God wants the Casper to be healed. So that in time he can become saved and has activated a chain of people to pray while Vasily is appointed to deliver the message. Lay his hands on his child and pray. Now, let's go to the back page here. Look upon this, what I laid out. Actually, what the Holy Spirit showed me. All the people involved in the story of Casper did not set out to do a specific job. Instead, each person was living a normal life of walking with Jesus. And just like in the book of Acts, it was God who activated each person. Vasily works as a superintendent for a construction company. Made initial contact with a boy and his family. He did not know there was going to be a sick boy there. Leif passed on a Christian CD by Lennart Larsson. John and Ina liked the music and wanted to contact Lennart. Ann-Britt was an obedient handmaiden of the Lord. Lennart had a key to the puzzle and passed it on to John. The people of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church have responded with prayer and will respond. Now, Vasily would have an edge when he walks in this time. Because he can simply say to this woman, you have a Swedish friend that lives up in Fairfax. Your Swedish friend asked for prayer for your son. Her dad is an evangelist in Scandinavia. This will get their attention. They will say, wow. God knows how to set it up. Now it is up to God to finish this project by healing Casper and in time save him. His parents will have a chance to receive Christ, and so will Lennart's daughter. Let's turn now to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11. This is a little bonus scripture for you here today. As we wrap this up, that's Mark 11. And I want to pick it up in verse number 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter called into remembrance unto him, Master, behold the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering said to them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be ye removed and be ye cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Have faith in God. All of us are rejoicing over the Stanley family. They would have never heard of us unless a man by the name of Walter Gross from Michigan, he's now in heaven, insisted to me in about 1996, you have to have a website. I said, I don't need a website because I got a radio. He said, you need a website. I said, okay. I said, you do it. He says, I will. We got a website. In 1995, 96, God knew that some almost 10, 11 years later, a woman by the name of Michelle was going to be sitting on the internet surfing to find something and hitting our website. God knew that in advance. He set everything up. God has set everything up in your life up to now. There are plans made years ago. Some have been fulfilled. Some are going to be fulfilled. And all God is asking you is simply this, to believe and say, my Heavenly Father, first of all, I will ask you to help me to love you. Help me to love you and help me to receive your love. And then, Father God, help me not to be impatient, but I expect to walk into your divine appointments. When you walk into divine appointments, in the case of the Stanley family, they had God had to move them from the Washington, D.C. area to over here. Some of you here moved from Yuba City. I don't think it was a coincidence that we had Joan Lister in his church. And by the way, we need to hand it out today. And she's going to have a memorial. Not she, but they're going to have a memorial for her. But Joan Lister came to me and said, Pastor, do you mind if I take a bunch of doves and hand them out wherever I go? I said, more power to you. I did not know when I said that, that I was going to say hi to Thomas Burns. Because Joan Lister went up to Yuba City to one of these patriotic meetings in the 90s. And there came Thomas Burns walking in, picking up a dove, and the Holy Spirit said, you pick that up and take that home. And he picked it up and took it home. And then God said, now you go down and check these dudes out. And he came down one Sunday, and he's been coming down since. That was a divine appointment. Now, God knew that behind Thomas Burns was his family. We had Michael Burns, Jane Burns. Other people are coming. Divine appointments. And so if you can get excited and say, God, I am so excited that in my life I'm going to have divine appointments. Constantly doing and meeting people and things that you want. Let me read again to you from Mark 11:22. And Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Therefore I say unto you, what things ever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Our website has brought in more people. Some 8 to 9 years ago, Karen Leach, surfing the net, found a website. She did not know that she was going to move to Sacramento. Her best friend, Carol West. And Carol West did not know that she was going to end up in Sacramento. But you see, divine appointments. And I remember when Carol came up, we did not like make life easy for her. And, you know, but she was determined to go through deliverance, whatever it cost. And then one day they were here. Now for a man and his wife at retirement age to sell their home, leave the town where they have all their friends and things, and move to another place, that is a divine appointment. So the question is this. You that are here, you that are watching, are you going to believe a miracle? Are you ready for a miracle? There's only one hitch. I got to give it to you. In verse 25. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you've ought against one any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. You cannot have unforgiveness in your life. You cannot have that. It has to go. Unforgiveness got to go. If you want to have your divine appointments, forgive and release all anger and hate. I want to give you one more divine appointment. We had Sister Cindy. She had a disease. And she couldn't get healed. And she was trying all kinds of different things. And then on the internet, she found Henry White. And they talked to them and went over there and so on. And then they were looking for books. And then back on the internet, lo and behold, books could be purchased at the Resurrection Life of Jesus Church here. They came up here just to say hello and to get some books and talk to us. They were actually going to another ministry a little further out. But you know, there was a divine appointment. And they stayed. They've been now here for some time. And now Cindy's healed. Vasily is saved. Little Natalia's healed. Accepted Christ. Billy got touched. And so on it goes on. Nick, their son, got touched. A divine appointment. And it all began with a website that I didn't want to begin with. We got to learn to be open to the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit do it in such a way, we cannot say, well, Holy Spirit, you know, I don't like it that way. This is my way or the highway. No, it's His way or no way at all. So two things here. Do we have faith? And secondly, have you forgiven? And if you say, well, I don't have time, you can simply right now say, my Heavenly Father, I am going to forgive everyone. I'm going to work on it. I'm going to take care of it. And it will count as you have done it. And then you do it. Look at the statement we have here. Are you ready to be part of a miracle? Remember, it's not so important how you begin your life after salvation, but how you finish it. Have you made plans how to finish your life or you're drifting? 5 or 6 years ago when Vasily and Cindy came here, you didn't know about little Casper. You didn't know that, but God knew that. That was in His plan 5, 6 years ago. He was not even born. But God had laid out a path for you folks to travel, divine appointments. During the invitation here, we're going to pray specifically over this issue. And to those of you watching, I'm going to pray a general prayer first, then we're going to do something else. So let's stand and we have a general prayer first. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank and praise You right now. That Lord, Satan is a liar. Trying to ruin the sermon You gave me by saying Casper is dead. Get out of here, devil, and all your lying spirits. We're not going to accept You. And your lying spirit says it's not going to work. It is going to work. We're going to see this young boy healed. Not because of us, but because of you, Lord. And Father God, I pray for every man, woman, boy, and girl watching me today, either here or some other place. That Father God, today you will fuse into them faith. And the first thing that we begin to think about is, God loves me. I can love God. Lord, those are not saved. Save those people today. Let them receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. Let them repent and ask Jesus to come into their life. And repent and ask God to forgive them for all their sins. And Father God, I believe that this sermon has a lot of divine appointments to go out and take care of things. And I believe right now there's a number of connections being made. And I thank you, Lord, as I step back, that you will do a mighty work. And I praise you for that now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Before we open the altars, we're going to do it this way. Vasily, I want you to come up. Elders, come on up here. Up on a platform. Try to have no one leave the room. Please stay here with us in prayer. Very important. Those of you that have faith that Casper is not going to die, I want you to come up and line up here. Those of you that have faith, you come on up here and say, I have faith that this boy is going to be healed. You come on up and help us to pray. Vasily, you got some oil with you? Okay. Vasily, in the name of Jesus, as a pastor of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, I deputize you to be a point man and to go and heal that boy, and that every door shall be open for you. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now as a church. Stretch forth your hands toward Vasily. Father God, just like the church did in Antioch, when it separated Barnabas and Saul for the work we had done, we separate here Vasily Kostrykin today for the work that he has to do with little Casper. And in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the anointing coming down upon him right now. From the top of his head to the soles of his feet, Father God. There shall not be one doubt in his mind. But this man would have faith and walk in and simply say, thus says the Lord God Almighty. And I thank you for that right now. In the name of Jesus, I bind up every spirit of Buddhism in that father's heart. I bind up the spirit of Buddhism. Shut up! And you can be bound, chained, gagged, unable to do anything. I bind the spirit of unbelief in the mother, of not having any faith in God. We bind those spirits, and we open a door to that home. We open a door to the woman's heart, that Father God, she will simply believe. And we thank you for a great, wonderful miracle. And I praise you for that, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Elder, pour it on him. Pray for him.
Go ahead. Vasily is going there, Lord. He's going as an ambassador for Christ. He's going as a missionary on a mission, O Lord, to pray for that young boy in the name of Jesus. Amen. Give him the boldness. Give him the courage. Give him the strength. Give him, O Lord, that, O Lord, who he is in Christ Jesus. He's an ambassador. And we thank you for giving freedom.
Yes.
When he prays. And pray, O Lord, according to thy will. We pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you and praise you, Father, for this, O Lord, the mission, O Lord, that you've given him. And we thank you that it will be a successful one, O Lord.
Yes.
That boy will be healed.
Yes.
The whole family will be healed. Hallelujah. The friends that know them will be healed and be delivered,
yes,
and be saved. And we want to thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father. Oh, Lord, what you are going to do, Lord.
Yes.
With Vasily going, oh, Lord, and taking that responsibility and taking, oh, Lord, that mission. And we thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father, for giving him peace in his heart and excitement.
Yes.
And looking forward, going with expectancy.
Yes, God.
What the Lord our God is going to do. And we bless you, Lord, and thank you, Father, for touching him, for anointing him, and moving upon Vasily, O Lord, and bringing him, O Lord, to a higher level. Oh, and we praise you and thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Father God, I lift up the situation when he goes to meet with those people that the days prior he has not to rehearse anything.
Yes.
But that you're going to give him the words to speak,
yes,
at the right time.
Yes.
And when any doubt or unbelief that the devil tries to bring up, he will rebuke it in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And push it out. And we thank you for that, Lord. He would go and have perfect peace. And then also, Lord, we know that you're going to do a miracle there. We thank you, Father, for early salvation for that boy Casper.
Yes,
too.
Yes, Father.
That he will receive Jesus early. We know that you have certain calls on the lives of certain people, and that you have anointed him for certain things that you want done,
amen,
in your kingdom. So we thank you, Father, for him to be saved early, to get an education in the Bible, and to fulfill his calling.
Yes.
Amen.
And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. And then also, Lord, this is all being recorded,
yes,
on earth and in heaven, and that the parents will be able to look back at what was taking place before they trusted Jesus.
Yes.
And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 You might go back to your seats. We're going to have the elders and the deaconesses here up front. And if you have a need for prayer today, maybe you have not been able to love God or accept God's love as you really should, you come on up. Maybe you want to be prayed for, that you have your divine appointment for more faith. Whatever it is, maybe you need a healing. You come as we are singing. The altar is open.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you'll die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? even something insignificant like a paperclip at work. 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7-8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places: heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past. And there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. So act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. You've been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was entitled The Sovereignty of God. Pastor John spoke about experiencing the Book of Acts through an unsaved family that is battling cancer in their 2-year-old son, and how the Holy Spirit connected people to bring strong intercessory prayer for this little boy. Pastor John took you through the Bible to show the sovereignty of God, His love for mankind, and how He cares for each individual. He spoke about Cornelius, the Roman centurion who called upon God and unknowingly set in motion a chain of events that would have a miraculous outcome. God is still moving the same way today, and you can be part of His continuing miracles as people are saved from sin and healed of their diseases. This sermon is a spiritual sunshine story that will put some cheer into your soul and lift your spirit if you have been depressed and wondered where God is. This message is available on cassette, CD, and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1237. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-708-3232. That's 888-708-3232. For calls from outside the U.S., the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.